we're doing this series on disciple, and I fear that I'm getting way too serious about this disciple Christian thing, so I think I'll back off. In fact, I think I've upset some people. I've been way too heavy. And to show how sorry I am about it, I think we should change the name of our church. I think we should change one letter in our name. Now, that's not too much. I think we should change the F in life to a T. The name should be Light, like the beer, Light. Lightgate Church. I think that would be better. Also, our mission statement has been for years, Lifegate Church, reaching people and making them devoted followers of Jesus Christ. I think we'll change that too. From now on, it'll be Lightgate Church, reaching people and making them partially devoted followers of Jesus Christ. I think that'll be better. That'll be more user-friendly and seeker-sensitive. To go along with our new name and our new mission statement, I've got a whole new marketing campaign that I want you to see. See what you think. Welcome to Lifegate Church. If you haven't been here in a while or this is your first time, things are changing. You know, for the past 15 years, our motto has been making people devoted followers of Jesus Christ. But now we're changing it to making people partially devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Also, we are changing our name from Lifegate Church to Lightgate Church, like the beer. Most churches ask you to come once or twice a week, tithe 10% of your income, or even do something. But not here at Lightgate Church. We are all about entertaining you. At Lightgate Church, just show up every once in a while. We want you to feel good about you. Church will be great. It's all about you. You know, come after the worship and leave before the offering, or just come for the music. We want you to be happy. Another you-centered feature is our Ten Commandments. Instead of 10, we will only have 5. And you can custom choose anyone you want from our menu. If you want to keep number 3, don't misuse the name of the Lord your God, great. Keep that one. Or if you don't want to keep number 7, the one about not committing adultery, then don't keep it. It's all about you and keeping you happy. At Lightgate Church, we are slashing commitment in half. 30 to 40 minute sermons? No way. Not here, my friend. We will be the home of the 15 minute sermonette. It's all about making you feel better about you. Giving? No way. Serving? Don't even think about it. Just show up. Talk to the person next to you or don't. This is the home of less means more. It's everything you wanted in a church and less. It's what you need for you. Yes, I think a new name, a new mission statement, and a new marketing campaign will work just great. How about you? Well, welcome to church. You don't really want one of those pastors that believes all the Bible says, do you? You don't want one of those serious people that just really think all that stuff's what Jesus said, we got to do it all. You don't believe that, do you? Don't you want somebody that just tickles your ear and kind of makes you happy? Wouldn't that be better, huh? Oh, come on. Yeah, you do. Well, you know, we're in this series about disciple. And so I wanted to read again the requirements that Jesus gave us. There's 5 of them. 5 requirements that he laid out for us and that. Now, I'm going to extend it this time. Instead of just reading those requirements, I'm going to go ahead and get all of his context because I want you to see where he brought it to and how he brought it into a story so that we can relate to it. It's sort of a little parable there at the end of it. So I know he's not serious about it. I know he doesn't really want us to do all those things. But just for the fun of it, let's read it anyway. So here, let's read. It's in the book of Luke, chapter 14, verses 26 through 35. It says, "If anyone comes to me and does not, number 1, hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, number 2, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not, number 3, carry his cross and follow me, he cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and, number 4, estimate the cost, count the cost? Then he says in verse 33, if in the same way you, in the same way, any of you who does not, number 5, give up everything he has, cannot be my disciple." Then here's the new part. Here's the context that I was talking about earlier, how he brings it down and summarizes what he just says. He says, salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, does Jesus think that salt can lose its saltiness? But if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It messes up the manure. It's neither fit for the soil nor the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus must have thought we were going to have a little difficulty understanding this and hearing it. Must be something about it that we probably wouldn't like and may not want to do. So he says, if you can hear this, I hope you can. But how many, let's get real. How many of you really think we need to dilute down those requirements, water them down, and make it easy? How many want to dilute it down and make it? Oh, come on. You know you do. Come on. How many want to do that? Don't you think we should make it easy? I mean, you know, tell people, listen, just pray this little prayer after me. And, you know, hey, if you want to come to church, fine. If you don't want to come, that's fine too. Give something, don't give something. Minister to people, it doesn't matter. It's all about you. Make sure that you're happy. You know, if you want to come after the praise and worship and leave before the offering, then hey, that's okay. Just pray this prayer and show up every once in a while when you want to, and you're just fine. How many want to dilute it down like that? Well, isn't that kind of what we've done in America? Isn't that what the American Christian belief system basically tells people? Hello? You don't ever see these things that Jesus said, the requirements of being a disciple, discussed and talked about. You know, it's we got to get it. We got to understand this better. See, I feel like we've lowered the standard, we've watered it down, we've diluted it down so much that we've damaged the kingdom, and also we've damaged lives. We've got some people deceived thinking if they just pray this little prayer, everything's cool. Now, for the benefit of our guest, and for some of you who haven't been here very long, I just said that facetiously, and this video was a facetious video. I really don't think that, and we don't do that here at LifeGate Church. You hang out here, your life will change. And I don't dilute it down, and I do speak it out there, and I will get in your face with it. But I wanted you to hear it. I wanted you to hear this because I really think this is where we are right now in society. I continued reading that context, and I showed you where Jesus brought it down and started talking about salt. And he says that if salt loses its saltiness, if it loses its flavor, if it loses its power, what good is it? Answer me. What good is it? It's worse than manure. He says, don't throw it on the ground because if you throw it on the ground, I mean, don't throw it on the soil because if you throw it on the soil, nothing will grow. If you throw it on the manure pile, it'll mess up the manure pile. He says, it's really not good for anything. Maybe just throw it out there where you walk just to keep some grass from growing up between the asphalt. That's what he says. He says, what we've done with Jesus says to do is we've diluted it down. See, I just don't see that happening in our society today. I don't see Christians, and of course, you know, he says, I hope you can hear this. He says, I hope you can hear this. I hope you can understand this. And what he's talking about there is, you know, he hopes that we get it. Do we get it? You see, I really feel like in our Christian society today that what we've done is we've messed it up so much so that everybody is a Christian, but nobody's a disciple. I don't see people fulfilling those requirements that Jesus gave us. I don't see it. See, we're supposed to be making disciples, and we're going to talk about that in just a second. So we got to stay salty. So what I want to talk to you today about is that. How do you remain salty if you're a Christian? How do you keep from getting diluted down? How do you keep from getting your power weakened and just moving into this Christian belief system when we're really supposed to be disciples? So that's what I really want to talk about. So what Jesus told us in our first lesson, what the Spirit of the Lord was speaking to us in our first lesson, which was called My Disciple, we looked at what a disciple is, what the word itself means. So here it is for you again. I want to show you one more time what this word means. There's the Greek word, and what it means is a learner, a pupil, an imitator. See, what a disciple is not just somebody who believes. What a disciple does is they learn about Jesus and learn what he did so they can do what Jesus did. That's what a disciple is about. That's what a disciple does. We're a learner. We're a pupil. We're an imitator of Jesus. We saw also in that thing, a kind of an overview, in that particular lesson, an overview of what a disciple does. A disciple does, number one, touch lepers. They touch people nobody else wants to touch. A disciple will also do, number two, they'll befriend prostitutes. They'll make friends with serious sinners. What a disciple also does, number three, is they offend Pharisees. They offend very religious people. As you can tell, if you're a very religious person, you won't like it here. I will offend you. I'm coming after you. Jesus would wake up on the Sabbath and say, what day is it? Oh, let's go find us a Pharisee to offend. And he would do it. And so he was so against this, the religious belief system, that just because they were born of Abraham, that they were fine and dandy. Or just because in our system, because you say a prayer, that you're fine and dandy. You see, there's more to it than that. And in the second one, we talked about because you say so. We talked about that last week. The because you say so was the attitude of a disciple. Peter was in the boat with Jesus. Jesus says, let's push out a little deeper. Let's catch some fish. And Peter says, man, I make my living like this. This is what I do. I'm a fisherman. And he says, but because you say so, I will. That's the attitude of a disciple. A disciple has this attitude. It doesn't matter what anybody else says, what anybody else does, because he says so, because Jesus says so, we do it. And we always experience miracles when that happens. Peter experienced this great miracle, and he catch people. That's the whole point of that thought, is that we are now supposed to catch people. A disciple catches people. So what I want to talk to you today about is, how do you stay in that mode of a disciple and not continuously vacillate from being a Christian and being a disciple? And see, I think it's like this. I think that a lot of people are Christians, but not a lot of people are disciples. I think all disciples are Christians, but all Christians aren't disciples. And I'm going to talk about that in just a second. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. So let's start. Let's get it going here. Let's talk about remaining salty. Number one, on the back of your gateway, there's some fill-ins for you on your talk notes. Here's number one. A disciple will make disciples. Now, making a disciple is way different than catching people. We talked about catching people. Making a disciple is way above catching people. What we do when we make a disciple is we literally and intentionally spend time with somebody so that they can become disciples. They can become pupils. They can become imitators of Jesus Christ. So let me read you the scripture that Jesus said to us in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. He says, therefore go out there, catch people, and make disciples. Did he say make disciples or did he say make Christians? Talk to me. Make disciples. We're making Christians. And what Jesus said, I want you to do is make disciples. Make imitators, make pupils, make people that go and do what I did so that they can make disciples and go and do what I did. Make disciples of all nations, ethnos, it's ethnic groups, all colors and languages and social barriers. Make disciples of these people, baptizing them in water in the name of the Father and the Son. Listen, I just read the scripture wrong, and you know I read it wrong. Why didn't you stop me? Say, whoa. Say it, whoa. Whoa. Baptizing them in what? The name of. So it's more than putting somebody in this baptismal pool. I baptize them. We've missed something here. Do you see this? Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them. Now, this is the context. You're baptizing them so that you'll be teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Now, these are people, making a disciple, these are people that we spend time with and that we teach. These are people that we baptize in the name of. What does that mean, Delbert? What are you talking about? The name of, the person of the Father. The person of the Son, the person of the Holy Spirit. You get around me, you're going to hear about the Father. You're going to hear about the Son. You're going to hear about the Holy Spirit. You're going to be immersed into it. That's what you do. You immerse them not just in water, but you immerse them in the person of the Father. This is what he's saying here. Make disciples. Here's how you do it. You make them by teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. You teach them what you know. You teach them what I've taught you. And then you will make a disciple that way because they will become a disciple. See, it's way more. It's way more than just catching people. Now, please notice there that Jesus did say, make disciples. He did not say, make Christians. Now, we've talked about this. We've talked about this every week. To me, and it's just a thing I have, I suppose, but to me, there is a profound difference between a Christian and a disciple. I just don't see Christians striving after those five requirements. What we are supposed to be doing is making disciples, making imitators, making people come to a place where they really love Jesus more than they love anybody. Where, husband, you love him more than you love your wife. Or, woman, you love him more than you love your children. Where, you love him more than you love your own life. I don't see that in Christianity. I see people doing what that little video was talking about, doing church like they want to do church and not really following after him, not putting aside everything else. We want to do my life, and if I have time, I'll go to church. If I have time, I'll do what Jesus wants me to do. I don't see people taking up their cross and following him. We've talked about this. What does that mean? It means every person is born for a reason and for a purpose. You're here to accomplish something, and probably, maybe you've tapped into it. Maybe you're doing a portion of it at least, and you're carrying that cross. But are you following Jesus while you carry that cross? See, it's not a problem to take up your cross. It's a problem to take up your cross and follow Jesus. That's what he says, take up my cross and follow me. A lot of people will take up their cross and go do their own thing. But can you take up that thing that you would die to do, and follow him? I don't see a lot of that happen. I don't see people counting the cost. It costs something to be a disciple. It costs you money to take people out and make disciples. It costs you money. It costs you time. It costs you effort to catch people. I don't see a lot of Christians doing that. I don't see Christians leaving everything for him. But that's what we're supposed to be making. It says, make disciples. Disciples make disciples, which brings me now to this question. Now, hear how I say it. Who should you be making a disciple? Not so much who are you. Who should you be making a disciple? See, that's the thing that I really want to say. That's a little different take on it. Who should you be making a disciple? You should be making a disciple of someone or some people. Now, people think that when you talk about making disciples, you got to get a degree. You got to go to college. You need a classroom. You need to know all 66 books of the Bible. You need to have your books out where you can quote scriptures and do all this stuff. Well, Jesus did none of that. How did he make disciples? How did Jesus do discipling? He just did life with people. He took these guys, he hung out with them for 3.5 years, and he made them disciples just by doing life. They'd be hanging out, just walking down the road, and he'd say, hey, look at this, look at this right here, look at this. See this guy out here throwing seed in this field? Behold, the sower goeth forth to sow the seed. So see this guy throwing seed out in the field? Well, some of that seed's going to fall on pathway, and some of that seed's going to fall on stony, and some of that seed's going to fall on thorny, and some of that seed's going to fall on really good ground, and it's going to produce a lot of fruit. That's how the kingdom works, guys. And he would take that illustration and he would disciple them and teach them about the kingdom by this guy out here throwing seed. Or he would do something really, really strange like curse a fig tree. And the thing would wither up and they would go, whoa, man, that's wild. And Jesus said, no, wait a minute. You understand there's a lesson behind this. It's about prayer. You see, you got to understand the power of your words. That's where he said, listen, when you pray, say to the mountain, be thou moved and cast into the sea. See, he says, this is how the kingdom works. Where you've got power. This is how you make disciples. So who should you be discipling? On the back of your gateway, here's a fill-in for you. Discipling is doing life with a spiritual and eternal emphasis. That's all discipling is. It's not having to go and get a degree in college so you can be a preacher. Jesus did it. You know, it's spending time and taking the things and making everything have a spiritual and an eternal emphasis to it. That's what Jesus did. So who should you be discipling? Now, this is kind of simple. If you have children, that's your number one deal. Your children. See, it's not my place or the church's role to disciple your children. That's your place. That's your responsibility. Now, I'll partner with you. The church will partner with you, and we'll help you all we can. But listen, you are the main disciple of your child. Your child watches you. And you disciple that child. And it's your responsibility to do it. I was a busy father. I still am. And I'm a busy grandfather also now. But I always found time to disciple my children. We had two. We had Lance and Bonnie. And I found time. I would work at night. At those times, I worked on the third shift, and I slept during the day, and I worked at night. So I missed a lot of our children's younger years. But when we were together, I still made time to disciple them. Bonnie and the boys, Bonnie, Jack, and Max, were here with us this past week. They were doing some cleaning up here on the platform. But they were here with us this week, and we were having this conversation. And Jody, Bonnie's husband, said to Bonnie, "Bonnie, we have got to find a place and time where we can sit down with the boys and teach them about the Bible and spiritual things." And Bonnie said, "Jody, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. But Dad and Mom, that's not what they did. They did with us. What they did with us is we just would hang out. We would be in the car riding around, and Daddy would just bring up a scripture, and we would all discuss the scripture." And they were just as interested in what I thought about it as what Lance or Mama or Daddy thought about it. They really wanted to know what I thought. Or we would be watching television, and something would be shown on television, and Dad or Mom would make it spiritual. They would say, "Well, what's the Bible talk about? How does the Bible talk about that? What's the emphasis here?" And we would just do life, just hanging out. And that's why we discipled our children. So discipling isn't like you have to go and get this classroom. You don't have to have a devotional. If you want to, that's fine. But I'm saying that's not what discipling means. Discipling is meaning doing life with a spiritual and with an eternal effect and with a value of that on it, an emphasis on that. So that's also you have friends, you have relatives, you have acquaintances that you run with. Well, take whatever. Go to a movie. I've heard some of you do this. You go to a movie, and you come out of the movie, and you start talking about the movie, but instead of talking about what the movie was saying, you've twisted it now, and you made it a spiritual thing. You talk about a spiritual effect that this had on you. And so that's how you do discipling. So who should you be discipling? Not just who are you. You should be discipling someone. You should be making disciples. And if you want to remain salty, if you want to remain salty, that's what you've got to do. How many has ever made a disciple? Have you ever made a disciple? See, there is nothing like it. When you realize you had this effect on a person's life, when you touch this person that deeply, man, it makes you want to do it again. It's a wonderful thing, and it makes you remain salty. So that's the first one. Number two. Here's the second one. A disciple will bring people a more abundant life. Now, you'll hear a lot about the abundant life around here. We talk about it. I quote it. I'm going to read it to you in just a second, that Jesus came to give us an abundant life. But it's more than words to me, and it's more than words here. I don't know of anybody that stayed here very long that their life didn't tend upward. We bring you an abundant life. So what Jesus said here in John 10:10, "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come." So if this is why he's come, then this is why we're here. If we're imitators of him and learners of him, "I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." See, if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, what you will do is you will bring life to people, not death. You will bring an abundance to them. And so who are you making life better? For whom are you making life better? And maybe it's the guy down the street who can't pay his electrical bill this week. He needs a little financial assistance. Can you help this guy? How about the person at work who's going through the tragedy of a divorce? Can you help that person? Can you encourage him and say, "Listen, God loves you. It's going to be okay. We're going to make it. We're going to be praying for you." Who is it that you need to be working on? Maybe it's the family with this rebellious child. Can you help them? Can you minister to them? Can you just pick up the phone and call them and make life better for them? See, that's what it's about. We make life better for people. For whom are you making life better? See, how many gets a buzz when you do something good for somebody? When you do something and it really just, you know, you've touched their life and it's made them happy. How many just get a kind of a buzz when you, yeah, see, that's remaining salty. And so the more you do that, the saltier you get. And you don't vacillate back over here to just doing nothing. You find somebody to bring an abundant life for. That's number two. Number three, a disciple will minister to the sick and the sinners. Now, there's a difference. You know, there's sick sinners, but there's there are sick people that we don't have a lot of problems praying with or praying for and ministering to, but then there's sinners. So a disciple is going to minister to both. Let me read you what Jesus said here in Matthew 9, 12 through 13. He says, on hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who needed a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous or those who think they're well, but sinners. Now, if you're a disciple, you will pray for people. You will lay hands on people. You'll find somebody to pray for. You'll pick up the phone and call someone. You'll go to the hospital. You'll visit people. You'll want to minister to people when you're a disciple. And there's nothing like when you pray for somebody and it really works. You know, they really get healed. Or they're having emotional or mental problems. And you pray for them and they're delivered. You know, there's nothing like that. See, that's what Jesus did. Jesus would lay hands on people and pray for them. When's the last time you laid hands on somebody and prayed for them? That's what a disciple does. But also, it's not just the physically sick or emotionally sick, but it's also those that are in sin. You know, we talked in that first lesson about how a disciple will befriend the prostitutes or the serious sinners is what we were really trying to talk about. See, it's not only those that are physically sick or mentally sick, but it's also those that are in sin. Now, there's somebody in your world who nobody wants to touch, who nobody wants to be around because they're a sinner. What are you doing to bring that person into the kingdom of God? Are you doing anything? Do you realize you might be the only link between them and hell? And at least give it a shot. At least invite them to church. At least give them a tape or a CD. At least try to do something for them. That's what a disciple does. A disciple will find a way to minister to people. A disciple will find a way to touch a life. I had a great phone call this week. A lady here in the church, she calls me and she was asking me some questions. And there was this individual who's kind of a leper. You know, one of those. See, when lepers would walk in, Jesus would lay hands on them. Everybody else would run from a leper, but Jesus would minister to them. And this person is kind of like that. They're in trouble and they're having this situation going on in their life. And nobody wants to be around them right now. But this lady is trying to reach her. I'm not saying she's a serious sinner so much as I'm saying that she's not serving God. And unless something happens in her life, she's going to go to hell. And so this is what lady's trying to reach her. And so she's been taking her the notes on Sundays, and she's been taking her some CDs and stuff like that. And here's what she said to this girl, this woman. She said, you got to come hear this guy. He's different. He says, and I really believe if you will, your life will change. We find a way to touch their life, to connect with them. I had a guy that I met. It was just a casual acquaintance. Actually, he was a relation of an in-law that I have. And I would just occasionally see this guy. And every time I was around him, I was friendly. I didn't condemn him. I was just me, just did life, just brought things into a spiritual emphasis, you know, and just kind of did life. There was a couple of funerals that he attended that I did, and I talked at the funerals and things like that. Well, I finally heard that this guy got saved. He really came to Jesus. He's going to another church. But we had something here one night, and he came to it. And he got me after the service right down there in the foyer, right there at the door, and he stood there and he talked to me. And he said, Delbert, he says, I just want to tell you. He said, you know, it's because of you. You're one of the main reasons that he called it getting saved. He says, it's one of the main reasons that I got saved is because of you. He said, I get around you, and you know, you didn't condemn me. He says, you just accepted me, you know, you cut up with me, you just, all this stuff. And he says, and when I would go to those funerals, and you would speak at those funerals the way you do, and make everybody laugh and appreciate life. And he said, I wanted what you had. And he said, I just wanted you to know what you mean to me. That's what we do when we're a disciple. We find some way to do life in a natural way with a spiritual emphasis. We emphasize the spiritual. We emphasize the eternal every opportunity that we get. And that's what Jesus did. He constantly was doing that. So who are you doing this for? Are you salty in this area? Are you praying for people? When's the last time you laid hands on somebody and prayed for them? When is the last time you reached out to a serious sinner? There's somebody in your world. And when you touch their lives and you know you did, it makes you more salty. It makes you want to do it again. So let me give you number four real fast. Number four, a disciple will save the world, not condemn it. That's different. And most Christianity, we're blowing the world up. We're condemning the world and those damned old sinners. Here's what Jesus said in John 3:17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. But to do what? Talk to me. But to save the world through him. If you're a disciple, you won't be talking about the world being destroyed and blown up and all those, and the world's getting worse and worse and worse. If that's true, then Jesus is failing. He came to save it. And what you'll hear around here is God saving the world. And you'll hear me talk. You'll never hear me talk about it being blown up with nuclear blast or stars falling out of heaven to destroy it. That's not what's going to happen. And I haven't got time to talk about that now, but just take my word for it. He's going to save the world. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. And what a disciple does is relay that to people. Listen, we're going to be here a long time. I get so upset with preachers. Pharisees. I was watching TBN. And if I were to say his name, everybody in here would nearly know him. And he was doing his preaching thing, you know. And he started talking about the rapture of the church. And he was talking about, he says, I hope when the rapture happens that God gives me a little hang time so that I can wave bye to all those who didn't make the rapture. And I can say, I told you so. When I heard that, I said, there's something wrong with that. There's something wrong here. That's a wrong. Jesus says, I come to save the world, not to condemn it. Amen. So it makes you feel good when you get that point. I'm feeling salty right now, folks. I feel like I got that point across really well to you. You know, that's where you feel when you finally see somebody understand that Jesus is here to save the world. Makes you salty. Makes you want to do it again. Give me the fifth one and the last one. Here we go. A disciple will bring division. let me just read you what Jesus said, okay? Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 38 says this, do not suppose that I come to bring peace to the earth. I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, a man's enemies. Look, watch this. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Oh my gosh. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. That's pretty intense. It's pretty radical, don't you think? Disciples are radical. Disciples just don't blend into the world because you're not of this world. Disciples are of another world, the kingdom of God. And we're a radical, radical kind of a people. And disciples become radical. And what makes us radical is the love we have for Jesus. We love him more than anything. And that love divides. That love separates. That love aligns priorities in a totally different way. When you come into the kingdom of God, your priorities are totally realigned. And that's what you do as a disciple. You let him realign. And that love causes you to be salty. He becomes the number one priority in your life. And when he is, you affect the world. You affect every person that you're around. You affect your family. You affect your friends. You affect every single person you come in contact with. They remember you. You salted their life. You touched them. You showed them that there is a sword in my life that causes me to love Jesus more than anything or anyone. A disciple will cause division. And sometimes it literally is in a family. Some of you have faced this. You come here to go to church, and your parents don't like it. They don't understand. Well, you were born a Baptist. Bless your heart. You know, I'm just trying to use this as an illustration. See, when you really begin to love Jesus and really begin to become a disciple, it really doesn't matter what they say. There's a sword, and it cuts you away from everything and everyone. So what does a disciple do? Let me balance that last statement, though, before I go on and finish it up. Now, does the Lord want us to have nice things? You know, he says you got to hate this and hate that and hate this. You know, does he say, I've come to give you an abundant life. I really want you to have some good stuff. Does he really want you to have some nice stuff? Yes, he does. But when those things take priority, when you love those things more than you love him, there's a problem. So what does a disciple do? Well, a disciple will not dilute it. They don't care who they make mad. They don't care who they offend. They will not dilute what Jesus said to do. A disciple remains salty. A disciple will make disciples. They'll baptize them. They'll immerse them in the name, in the person of the Father, in the person of the Son, in the person of the Holy Spirit. You get around them, that's all they want to talk about. They want to just talk about Jesus all the time. You know. Now, you take natural things and make them spiritual. You make life fun. You don't just wear somebody out. But you know what I'm talking about here. What a disciple will also do is bring people an abundant life. You'll find a way to help people, make their life better. A disciple will also minister to the sick and the sinners. And find a way to find that bad sinner in your world. And every one of us have one. But what are you doing? Are you touching their life? Are you connecting with them? A disciple will. A disciple will not condemn the world, but a disciple will save the world. Find some way to make the world better. A disciple will also bring division in lives. So how about you? Have you been a part of a religious system that sort of diluted it? Made it seeker sensitive? Or do you want to be a part of being a disciple where it's straight and not diluted? It's time to make those decisions. Where are you? Maybe you were like me. You came into the church world and got saved, water baptized, but you never became a disciple. You never really gave it up for Jesus. It's time. It's time to really get serious with the Lord. So let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you for our time together. Lord, you're making it very clear. There is a line between being a believer and being a disciple. So, Father, I pray today that every person here has heard what you said about the salt. I pray we've understood it. I pray we had ears to hear what you said. And I ask that each person here now steps across that line and decides that they want to be a disciple. So that's you. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. But you've vacillated, and maybe right now you're over here in the Christian world, in a religious system, in a social religion thing, but you really want to affect the world, and you really want to make it better. If that's you, would you raise your hand with me, and let's all pray together. Would you raise your hand if that's you? You really want to come into more of a discipleship. Father, I do. I bless us. I see hands all over the place. Father, I bless this people. Father, help us. Help us when we start losing our saltiness, that we'll kick it back up and we'll do those things that cause us to be salty. So, Father, I ask you now in Jesus' name to touch each life, each person here, and bring them into being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Head still bowed and eyes still closed. I don't know. Some of you, I don't know where you are. I don't know whether you like I said earlier, maybe you got baptized at some point in time, but you got away from the Lord, or maybe you've just never really made that commitment to the Lord. Well, you're here. It's time. It's time to make that commitment right now to Jesus Christ. And the first thing you do is just take the initial step of faith and then allow him to continue to grow you and mature you and teach you so that you can become a disciple. If that's you and you want to make that decision today, you want to give it up for Jesus, you're tired of running, you're tired of fighting life your way, and you've gotten away from him perhaps, or maybe you've never received him at all, but it's time today and you want to do that. Would you raise your hand? Let me pray with you, please. Would you raise your hand? I see your hand. Any others?